From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, I gotta ask, real hot button issue. Did you watch the debate last night?
I honestly don't think I could have handled a single second of it. So
it's okay. We're not actually going to talk about internet. We're not going to talk about the debate. I just wanted to I wanted to freak people out a little bit at the top of the show. We will definitely not be talking.
We will not be talking about that.
The blood pressure during the debate. Yeah, you made the right call by avoiding.
Oh, I know. I mean, I know from experience. I just can't do it.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit like you're definitely like
high cringe
torturing.
Status.
Well, no, you're just you're like by tuning in, you kind of were torturing yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Willfully. Yeah. But anyway, hey, you know, we don't have to talk about that too much, but it was interesting to say the least. So, we are going to talk about some disc golf stuff today. We've got the old Jonesboro Open coming up this weekend, which is great. I'm glad it was able to get back on the schedule. It's going to be interesting to kind of see this tournament in the fall as opposed to April, because I think April's usually when it is, and so I'm curious to see how that plays out, if we've maybe got some fall colors in
Ooh,
Arkansas,
man,
a little bit.
I'm so sad I'm going to be missing that. I really love that course.
And yeah, I like it a lot.
Actually, in Nashville, we woke up, it was 47 degrees. We had the heat on for the past few days. And if the weather is anything there like it is here, it will be absolutely gorgeous.
I heard it was supposed to be in like the 70s or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's warming up to like the mid to upper 70s here. But that sounds like perfect disc golf weather to me.
Yeah, for sure. It should be a fun event. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk a couple little bits of news before we get into a little more chatter on the show. So, first things first, Sarah, PDGA membership season has begun. Go to pdga.com/join. You can get your membership now. And the best part is, Sarah, like, it runs, if you start now, October 1st, it'll run all the way until December 31st, 2021. So it's like bonus time.
Yeah, sounds like a deal to me.
It usually is. What's your status on PDGA membership? You obviously, I'm sure you're re-upping soon, yes?
Oh, for sure. I don't have any other events happening this year because of my unfortunate health situation. But I do plan on getting out earlier next year and hitting up some Disc Golf Pro Tour NTs and majors. So yeah, I'll re-up pretty soon.
Just remember, your PDGA membership includes a free upgrade to UDisc Pro, the pro version of the app. It gets you $10 off essentially anytime you sign up for a tournament, several other discounts, and it helps support the sport. The PDGA uses membership fees to fund grants that get kids and women and people from other countries into playing disc golf. So you're doing a good thing with your membership fees, I promise you. Like, they're for all the people who occasionally, I shouldn't say all the people, but for the occasional comment of the people who think that the PDGA staff is just, you know, Scrooge McDucking in your membership fees, we're actually using it to grow disc golf. So again, it's pdga.com/join. Last week we talked about the schedule for 2021. There was kind of a little addition/bonus to that schedule in that the Disc Golf Pro Tour is going to be heading over for one of the Euro Tour stops. So we're going to have like a joint DGPT Euro Tour event at the PCS Sula Open over in Norway. I'm super stoked about this one, Sarah. I don't know if you've watched video of this course. Have you ever watched video of this course at the Sula Open?
I'm not sure.
It's stunning, beautiful, gorgeous, and it has a hot tub on hole one.
Okay, I've definitely not. I think that's a pretty cool.
Yeah. Hot tub behind the tee on hole one. So
dang,
that's pretty sweet. It should be a lot of fun. So that one's going to be the weekend before the European Open. It's July 7th. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get some live coverage or something over there. But I think that's a cool addition. Just, you know, more integration between the Pro Tour and, in this case, PDGA Europe. And good thing, I think, for all the players, get some more European names you know, in front of some cameras. So yeah. Keep your eye out for that one. That's going to be pretty cool. And then the other piece of news I saw is one Elaine King, 5-time world champion, is now adding yet another piece to her very, 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 very long resume as the associate editor over at Disc Golfer Magazine. What's your take on that, Sarah?
Oh, I'm super psyched about it. I mean, she is an extremely intelligent woman, and on top of that, obviously has tons of disc golf knowledge and experience. So, I think it'll be great to have her spin on things over at the magazine.
Yeah, I agree. Very nice to have her perspective on board. And, you know, she's the chair of the women's committee. She's on the medical committee. She's does nonprofit stuff. She's going to have a wide range of topics she can talk about. The thing I really liked seeing from her in this article over on the website right now is that, you know, we live in this time of like instant information and social media and stuff like that. And maybe there needs to be more of a pivot in how the magazine operates and what it covers. And we were kind of trying to do that when I was working more on the PGA staff. Taking it away from tournament coverage, you know, like to the, you know, the news of what happened, because that's coming out on the internet. That's coming on PGA.com, or it's coming out on DGPT.com, or it's coming out on UltiWorld Disc Golf or something in the moment. And when the Disc Golfer magazine comes 2 months later, it's not relevant. So right. What's going to keep Disc Golfer relevant is more analysis and less report. So she says, I think this is where Disc Golfer needs to move. We're going to have to shift to more analysis and less reporting to keep the magazine relevant. She is a woman after my own heart, with that kind of quote.
Yes.
So really looking forward to seeing what she delivers here at Disc Golfer magazine. So Sarah, as much as, you know, we talk a lot on this show, we've talked on this show about a lot more than disc golf this year, really, partially because there wasn't as much disc golf early on with you know, the whole COVID thing. But also because I think you and I both kind of feel a personal responsibility sometimes as people with this kind of platform, and where it can be, you know, sometimes it can be tough to talk about difficult topics, because disc golf generally for a lot of people is where they go to get away from difficult topics. But when those difficult topics come to disc golf, I feel like you and I are on the same page in that we should discuss them. And so the reason I'm kind of bringing this up is the issue of, you know, race and diversity has really been on the front burner in disc golf in the last few days, due to a few different things that have kind of gone on. And so I think we should, I think we need to address it and, you know, just kind of give our take on it and maybe offer some, not solutions. We're not going to solve the problem overnight, but it's important to have this conversation is kind of what I'm not so eloquently saying here. So the reason we're bringing up, you know, issues of race and in some greater respect, racism, a couple of things. Number one, there's an event called Color of Disc Golf that a former Ultimate player is running. Her name's Leah. I know you just caught up with her at Music City Open over the weekend. Yes. She's helping run this tournament that is in the Atlanta area, and it's for just for Black, Indigenous, and people of color. It's an offshoot of a similar event in Ultimate that they had called Color of Ultimate, and they're going to film it and put it out as a documentary as a way to get more representation for people of color in disc golf. I could not be more stoked to see people coming into disc golf and doing something like this. I think it's so important. You know, we've talked about this a lot this year. And the crappy part of all this is she and some of the people running the tournament with her had been posting on Twitter some of the feedback and harassment that they're receiving just for running this event. People were calling them racist. People were calling that, you know, calling them horrible names. And like one person was like, I'm going to report you to the Atlanta police. It just bonkers stuff, because they were trying to run this event for people of color only to increase their representation in the sport. This, by the way, this event is called Color of Disc Golf. You can find out more about it over there's an event page for it on Disc Golf Scene. So that's kind of one piece of the puzzle. Another thing that popped up is Parked put out an article, an interview, a long form interview with Jeremy Colling, who made some light waves. I don't mean like the kind that traveled through time and space, but like just made waves in a not very heavy fashion, by wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt on Jomez Pro's coverage he was on screen for like maybe 10 seconds, Sarah. It's in that little, it's like the little introduction they do, and him and Paul Ulberry or Nate Sexton are on screen, and and then they just go to the coverage. I didn't even notice he was wearing the shirt. A lot of people really didn't until it got posted on the internet, and obviously a lot of opinions were had. And so there was a really great long-form interview with him over on Parked, and I thought it was really relevant to the topics at hand right now because, you know, Jeremy Colling was showing that he's not afraid to kind of use his platform as a disc golfer right now. And, he's talked about how he's really dedicated himself to being more educated about some of these issues. And I just thought it was a really important piece to be out there to have a high-profile disc golfer talking about this. And then the last issue that has come up over the last couple days is this issue of Josh Anthon, a touring professional player, not really touring as much anymore, but longtime disc golfer, and a tattoo, a white pride tattoo that he has. This kind of got dredged up again on Reddit. I'm not exactly sure what brought it up, but someone brought it back up from an interview a couple years ago, and given a lot of the conversations we're having in society as a whole right now about social justice and racism, this obviously was brought to the fore, and again has created a lot of commentary, a lot of discussion, a lot of anger, if we're being honest, between people. And what I'm kind of getting at with all this is, you know, we can't just back away from this stuff just because it's disc golf. We can't, out of one side of our mouth, talk about how disc golf is this great, wonderful, welcoming community, and then out the other side of our mouth say, nope, we can't talk about this because it's political. Number one, these aren't political issues. These are human rights issues, totally different than politics. Number two, we said it the other week when we were talking about, you know, sexism. Sometimes you're going to have uncomfortable conversations. Sometimes things are not going to be the way that you want them.
Spawns change.
That's what, exactly. I don't want disc golf to be this sport where we just bury our heads in the sand because it's easier, is kind of what I'm getting at with this. I know it would be easier for us to just go out and throw our discs and get along. And by and large, we do that, right? Like, most people, you go to the course, you see someone, you hook up with them on the tee pad, you play around with them, you go your merry way, or you play with them again and you get along and it's fine. But there is a segment of the population that sees disc golf and doesn't feel represented and doesn't feel welcome. Not because of anything we are doing per se, but more because of what we're not doing by reaching out and actively trying to welcome those people. And so my hope in all of this being brought up as a conversation more is that we can kind of look at ourselves as disc golfers and mostly as people to try and confront some of these things and become more educated about why someone might not feel welcome in our community and what we can do to make them feel more welcome. I think, if you go read a lot of the comments on some of these posts, there are many people who really do want to make change in disc golf. There are a lot of people who want it to be welcoming and inclusive, just like you and I do, Sarah. And they're aiming to make change, just like you know, Leah in this color disc golf event and Jeremy Colling using his platform. On the other side of that, there are many people who, as soon as you, they will try and conflate anything they can, so that they don't have to address this issue. And it's really distressing sometimes to read some of the comments and some of the mental gymnastics people will put themselves through to, you know, look at this stuff and actively try and battle it almost. And so my hope is that if you're one of those people right now who's in these comments and you're made uncomfortable by what somebody says about racism, that you will maybe just take a second and take a step back and look and see what you yourself can do. It may not affect you directly, right? But it affects somebody. And we want disc golf to be this area where if it affects somebody, it affects everybody. It's kind of the way I look at it. And so we can do our part in that way to try and make it better. Sarah, I've been talking for a long time right now. I really want to know how you feel about all this stuff, and I'm sorry.
No, I mean,
I've thought about this a lot over the last couple of days. I'm sorry.
For sure. No, my brain is not working at full capacity because of my drug-induced health issues, but I agree with every single thing that you said. And if we want disc golf, the disc golf community to grow, at this point in time, the decisions that individuals are making, or not decisions, statements that individuals are putting out there, that clubs may be putting out there, is not only affecting maybe that community, so Black, Indigenous, people of color, but also people like me. I am not a person of color, but it very much alienates me to know that there are people and clubs possibly that do not support having these types of events like the Color of Disc Golf, where we are trying to grow the sport among non-white people. You know, just because I'm white doesn't mean I'm not a huge advocate of growing disc golf among all of the minority groups out there. And the more I hear about issues like this, I mean, the more it alienates people like you and me, right, Steve? Like,
yeah, just... I mean, well, on one hand, I think it can alienate, and on the other hand, I think it can kind of invigorate, you know, like I...
Right, yeah.
If we're being honest, like, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to listen to this show, and, you know, look, if you want to skip this, or you've already skipped this, you might not even be listening to it, there's timestamps in our descriptions, right? Like, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to want to listen to this, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about it, like... And so that's kind of the point I take on it is,
yeah,
it can alienate us and make us angry and push us away, or it can kick us into gear to keep talking about it and trying to do something.
And that's what I feel like it's done for people like you and me who are not scared of putting our opinions out there. For instance, Steve, you told me last week that you were so passionate about the Color of Disc Golf event that you became a sponsor. And after I talked to Leah at Music City Open, I was like, you know what? I want to sponsor your event too. I know a lot of disc golfers down in Atlanta. You can put my name anywhere you want.
Right.
Because I want to show solidarity and I want to support what she's doing. And I hope that other people listening to the show may potentially do that as well. It's just, I would ask, I think there are times when there are big human rights issues happening in the world and the disc golf community is silent because they're scared of alienating their followers or their sponsors. And I may be in a different kind of position because disc golf is not my full-time job. I don't really think about my sponsor all that much when I post things to the internet because I feel like if my sponsor doesn't support something like this, then I don't want them to be my sponsor. Luckily, that's not the case. But I would just say if you have a big platform and you are a professional disc golfer, use that platform and be vocal about these issues. Just, I mean, you need to be fearless at some point and not worry about losing 10 to 15 followers because those people are not aligned with what you are. You don't want those people following you.
I mean, yeah, at the same time, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's why, I mean, I kind of treat my Instagram personally as a business at this point because I'm running my nutrition stuff through there and making disc golf content and stuff. And whenever I see something that I am very passionate about, I post it. And sometimes I find that after I post some things to my stories, I lose a few followers that day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad those people don't have the same opinions as I do about very basic human rights issues, I believe. And I don't necessarily want those types of people following me. And I hope it educates, or the fact that I'm sharing certain pieces is, you know, also educational for people as well.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, this goes for both sides of the coin too. Like, you know, Sarah and I would be the first to tell you we're pretty liberal progressive people as individuals. But that doesn't mean that, like, if you're a disc golfer who is a little more conservative or has opposing viewpoints, that we don't want you to be speaking out too for those kind of fears. Like, it's how we get these conversations going. We have to have
dialogue
back and forth, right? And yes. So like I don't want this to just be a thing where we're saying, you know, people with more conservative viewpoints like kick rocks. That's not what I'm saying. In this regard, as far as, you know, race and diversity goes, I think there's obviously it's more of a human rights thing. But like, for, you know, I saw a very prominent disc golfer last night post on social media about the debates and got dragged in some comments and supported in others. And, you know, that's kind of how these things are going to go.
Yeah.
It's hard because, you know, we are living in very polarized times and a polarized just existence. And you know, that is going to filter over into disc golf sometimes. And I think we just have to kind of keep having the conversation in order to, you know, aspire to make this sport be what we really want it to be. So I want to give a shout out, number one, to Parked for doing that interview with Jeremy Colling, to everyone at the Color of Disc Golf event. And honestly, my other thing that I've been really interested to see, and I'm going to be really curious to just kind of see how our culture of disc golf kind of evolves over the next few years, is a lot of this conversation is being started by players who are coming over from Ultimate into disc golf. You know, Ultimate has a very long, I shouldn't say very long, but it has a longer background of, you know, working towards social justice movements. And with Ultimate being pretty much shut down entirely because of COVID, we've seen a lot more Ultimate players come play disc golf, and they're bringing some of their activism with them. And I think it's important to you know, have Ultimate players come in to disc golf and work to make it better if they can. I think, Sarah, do you have any final thoughts? I know you did get to talk to Leah a little bit more. Like, can you give any feedback about what you learned from the event from her?
Yeah, I mean, she's just super excited to be playing disc golf. We kind of bonded because I'm a former Ultimate player as well. And I think a lot of the reason that we're seeing the activism and maybe the advanced focus on these issues in the Ultimate world is because Ultimate is very much connected to colleges and universities. And so you're seeing a lot of that across college campuses. It's kind of leaked into Ultimate, which I think is awesome that is now leaking into disc golf. But yeah, we kind of talked about that. We spoke after her first round, so I was interested in what she thought about the course, and she was telling me a little bit about her experience playing in Atlanta. And yeah, we just talked about the sponsorship opportunities for the Color of Disc Golf event and how she's feeling about how all that's going. And we both aired some mutual frustrations with how some people have given feedback on that. But she's actually playing Jonesboro. I'm looking forward to seeing how she does there. And I just hope that she, it seems like she continues to be empowered through the adversity that she's facing with some of the feedback that she's gotten locally for her event. And I just hope that it continues to fuel her passion around this issue. I obviously it will. She's a very strong person, it seems like, and I don't think a few people are going to cut her down. But I'm really happy to have her in our FPO field. I think she's a great advocate for all of the issues that we've been talking about lately. So it was great to meet her in person.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, let's do this, Sarah. That was a little bit of a heavy topic. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do some Birdie Field Coffee hot rounds. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. This episode of PDJ Radio is presented by Marion County, West Virginia. Experience some of West Virginia's best disc golf. With two courses of their own and more than 25 others within a two-hour drive, you can always be ready for a round. Top the day off with a renowned pepperoni roll, local craft brew, or a one-of-a-kind dessert, and you've got an ace. Come discover the middle of everywhere in Marion County, West Virginia. Visit marioncvb.com for more information. Sarah, I just had some coffee because it's late in the day. That means it's time for the Birdie Field Coffee Hot Rounds. And yes. Let's start over on the FPO side like we like to do.
Okay.
And we're not get oh, well, we do get some Music City, but not yet.
Yes. Okay. So the fifth hottest rated round on the FPO side was from Zoe Ann Dyke. I haven't seen her name in the mix in a little while. Happy to see it.
Yeah, I think she's just been hanging out in Oregon.
Yeah. Well, it seems like she's throwing some super hot rounds. She played the train wreck at Trojan, and I was looking at this event, and I'm a little bit confused about it. I've actually never seen an event set up this way on the PDGA site. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it.
They've got, like, G1 and G12.
Yeah, and then on the open side, it's like, so there's first place down to fifth, and then sixth place, there's a second column that says hole. Maybe that was their starting hole, and they just didn't take that column out. I don't know, but then they've got these, like, G1. Yeah, maybe those are just the starting holes. Okay. All right. Anyway, not to take away from Zoe Andyke's super hot round, she shot a 972, her third round, to take first place at that event in a pool of four other women. So congratulations to Zoe. Glad to see you back out there playing. The fourth hottest rated round I actually got to witness... That was from Callie McMorrin. She shot a 976, her first round, at the Music City Open presented by Dynamic Discs here in Nashville. She ended up finishing in sixth place. But that first round, man, she was... So this used to be my former... Or it is my former home course. And
Cedar Hill, right?
Yes, Cedar Hill Disc Golf Course. And she, in particular, was birdieing some holes that I have never birdied. And one, I don't think she listens to the show, but she should. One of which is hole 16, and she was like, I've never thrown this disc before, but I needed a disc just for this hole. And it's a G-Star Sidewinder, which is like my go-to disc. And she throws it at 30 feet within the basket and gets her two. And I've never gotten maybe within 50 feet hole. So I was just, my mouth was just like wide open. I was like, oh my gosh, with nice. The same disc that I throw two. So that was super hot. 976. Congrats to Callie. Over in Estonia, Kristen Tatar shot a 979 her first round to take first place. Oh, this name is a doozy. Do I even dare to try?
Please entertain me.
Oh my gosh. Parnuma Latised Maestrovostused. That was terrible. Disc Golfus 2020.
It wasn't
great. I feel like I should put that into Google or something and they could say it. Anyway.
Either way, good tournament. Anyway. Good tournament over in Estonia.
Yes. Please someone tell me how to pronounce that. That was awful. The next was Katrina Allen. She shot a 985. I got to witness all of the hot rounds at Music City Open, actually. She shot a 985 her second round to take second place at MCO. And then Holly Finley with the hottest FPO round of the weekend. She shot a 994 her second round, and she ended up taking first place by two strokes over Katrina for the weekend.
It was funny. I was like, man, Holly Finley won that tournament. That surprises me. And then I remembered that it wasn't at the super mega long Sean Sinclair course. It was
That's
at
right.
the more wooded Holly Finley style course. Yeah. Not that Holly Finley can't, you know, keep up on a longer course, but I know, like, she definitely plays better on wooded tracks. So
Yeah, she shot super well. I got to see all three of her and Kat and Callie's rounds, so
there
it was
go.
Pretty fun. Pretty fun.
We'll give you partial credit for those. yeah. All right, we're going to stay with the Music City Open and AJ Carey. His 1070 rated third round brought him up to a tie for 19th, so he definitely needed that one. But hey, nice finish, right? It was only a three-round tournament, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's some momentum.
11 under par. 11 under par.
That'll give you the feel-goods heading out of the tournament. Yeah. So definitely. I like to see that. Out at the train wreck at Trojan, Cole Redolin shot a 1075 rated third round to come in second place. And, you know, Pacific Northwest's finest, Scott Withers, shot a 1080 rated second round of that same tournament to win, because all Scott Withers does in the Pacific Northwest is win.
All he does is win, win, win.
All he does is win. Noah Morehouse out at the 2020 Big Beaver Open in New Boston, Michigan, shot a 1081 rated first round to win the tournament. Was that only a single round tournament? Yeah, that was just no. Was it? It's only taking me to his page. I wanted to see here. I just want to make sure if it,
nope,
no,
it was
a,
rounds,
it was two
rounds.
Rounder. Nice job, Noah. And finally, our hottest rated round of the weekend. We've got our top two hottest rated rounds from players that I'm not familiar with, which is always, I think, is pretty rad.
Yeah.
This was from Kessler Martin out at the 2020 King of Idaho Falls presented by ICCU. And Kessler shot a 1086 rated opening round. He came in second place by one shot, only one shot at the tournament. But man, I love it. I love getting some new blood here on the Hot Rounds. The Hot Rounds, Sarah, they are brought to you by Birdie Fuel Coffee. You can go to birdiefuelcoffee.com, use the code PDJRadio at checkout, get 10% off your order. You know the drill by now. Hopefully you are getting caffeinated. Sarah, what did you caffeinate with today?
I actually had, coincidentally, the Kristen Tatar 6-4. Oh, so good. I mixed in, this is, obviously it's pumpkin season, so I mixed in some pumpkin syrup, and I use pumpkin-flavored nut pods, which is like, I believe it's almond milk and coconut milk mixed as a creamer, but they have all sorts of fun flavors. So, thank you, Kristen, for the pumpkin-flavored delicious 6-4 coffee.
I have feelings about this, but they're not good ones. So let's move on to talk about the Jonesboro Open, shall we? It's coming up this weekend. You were gonna go, Sarah. You have been, at least, so you can kind of give us the lowdown here. It's so probably by the time you're listening to this, it's already started, because we are a little behind, and this event is going a day earlier than most DGPTs, probably because USDGC and Women's Nationals are right on track to start on Wednesday. So this is Thursday, Friday, Saturday out in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And with that in mind, Sarah, what do you like about this tournament? Disc Side of Heaven. Give me the lowdown on Disc Side of Heaven.
I think it is a great mix of wooded, out open. There's a little bit of, well, there's a fair amount of out of bounds as far as like property lines and rope, and water comes into play on a few holes. I don't know. I think the property is beautiful. I played it, 2 years ago now? Seems like a very, very long time ago. But there's also some elevation change because of some of the open holes. There's always wind that comes into play. I just think the property as a whole is stunning. I mean, if you're not playing disc golf and you're just kind of walking around, I think it's a really beautiful piece of property, and I like that you get to air it out a little bit. There's a lot of people that are coming from Music City Open who played three rounds on a pretty tight wooded course where there is not really any open holes, where most of the shots are like low ceiling tunnel shots. And I think it's going to be kind of nice to have an opportunity to air it out.
I do feel like of the disc golf pro tour events, I feel like this one is pretty underrated in terms of how people, you know, feel about it. And I don't know. I really like it. I think I like the water that comes into play. I like the elevation. I like the there's like that pretty demanding par five a couple holes before the finish. you know, there's generally fairly close finishes here. I mean, last year it was one shot between Paige and Katrina, a few shots between Paul and Garrett Gerthy. You know, we've seen different people win this tournament, at least on the MPO side. I think Paige Pierce has won this tournament every year on the FPO side, but, you know, Paul has won it. Ricky's won it. Who else has won this tournament? I'm trying to remember. I'm going back in the schedule right now just to double check, cause I can't remember who's won it besides those two guys. They were the most recent. And the other thing that, Ricky's won it twice. The thing I really like about this tournament is the TD, Brad Pites. He works so hard to make this into a big, bad event. Like, he's had, you know, really, really excellent sponsor support. It's called the Play It Again Sports Jonesboro Open, and then he tacks on a presented by Prodigy. Before, he had, like, a lawnmower company. Like, he's gotten legit good solid sponsors for this event and has turned it into a bigger thing. I mean, he had a big video board there at hole one mm-hmm. in the past. They get a lot of local support. They get a lot of local press. I just think it's a newer event in terms of, like, it was, you know, it came on the Pro Tour in the second year of the Pro Tour. So it's still a little bit less established than some of the other tournaments. It, you know, is in a place that isn't necessarily known as, like, a big disc golf hotbed. So I think it gets kind of overlooked. That's why I'm really happy that it was able to be rescheduled this year, because I think it is one of those tournaments that deserves to get a little more recognition. I think right now people are going to be pretty well starved still for pro disc golf. So I think it's a really big opportunity for them to make a good splash, and man, they're gonna make a really good splash tomorrow with this feature card. Have you seen the MPO feature card?
No, I haven't seen it. I had a very busy work day.
Yeah, it's Austin Hanum, he's from Oklahoma. He's from Oklahoma, not Arkansas, but you know,
yeah,
close enough. Kevin Jones, Arkansas's finest. Paul McBeth, the champion of the tournament, and then Will Schustrick is gonna be on feature card. Nice. It's been a while since we've seen some Will Schustrick coverage, so I'm really happy about that. I just think it's going to be a good warm-up for USDGC. You know, the FPO side is not quite as deep as we've come to get used to the last few events, but that's okay. The feature card is going to be Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen, Vanessa Van Dyke, and Kat Murch.
I'm excited to watch her play more. She played MCO. I was kind of acting like media. I was taking lots of videos and posting them to my stories. And
she's from Arkansas. Cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. And I took a video of her. But I'm super excited to watch her play more.
Nice. Yeah. It you know, we are missing, like, Sarah Hokum. Maybe. So that kind of changes up the mix a little bit. You know, no Paige Hsu. A couple people there who we've kind of come to get used to seeing at this tournament, or at in the FPO field, not at the tournament, but still a solid field. And I just, you know, again, like, it's really hard to not be excited about pro disc golf right now because we have live disc golf. Yes. Yeah, it'll be on the Disc Golf Network, and then YouTube the final day, and then for post production, it's Jomez and Gatekeeper on MPO and GK Pro on FPO. And yeah, I'm stoked. I maybe don't sound stoked. That didn't sound like I'm stoked, but I am. Like,
You were talking about some of the perks at this tournament, and when I played 2 years ago, they had a little player pack item that I absolutely adore, and I use it every day. Insulated. It's like a 16 or 18 ounce insulated coffee cup.
Oh, nice.
And I used, yeah. And it was, it had our name on it. Every player had their name on it. And then yeah, and I use it every day. And then I remember also, the local ASPCA was there and were taking donations, and there was some sort of benefit. I think maybe there was like $5 to be a spectator or something, and it was all going to the ASPCA. So
nice.
Yeah. Brad's doing great things, lots of little perks, and making sure that the community is benefiting as well, which I think is really cool.
Now, the other component of this, Sarah, that we haven't even scratched the surface of, is this is the last disc golf pro tour event of the season. So there are points ramifications in terms of being able to qualify for the disc golf pro tour championship, which is the week after USDGC. So there are a few people who we need to keep an eye out for who are registered for the tournament and are kind of on the bubble. You've got, I'm looking at Andrew Presnell, Brian Earhart, Nate Perkins, right below that 32 spot on the MPO side to be able to qualify for the tour championship. And on the FPO side, I believe it's 16 who qualify for the tour championship. So someone like Cynthia Ricciotti, who is, and Kat Murch, both of them are, if they have a strong performance this weekend, could jump into the tour championship. So a few players to watch besides just the top players. And then on the other side of that coin, maybe not for the impact on pro tour standings, but there are a couple of significant players who are not at this tournament. We already mentioned Sarah Hokum on the FPO side. On the MPO side, you know, it says Calvin Heinberg's registered, but I don't see him on this list. Let me sort by rating, because on UDisc it says he's registered, but I don't see him on... Oh, no, he's here. Okay. But, you know, no Eagle McMahon, no Rika Waisaki. Those are two big ones right there. I'm sure they're probably just crushing out practice rounds at USDGC.
Yep.
So, you know, it's definitely... I am actually pretty pleased to see the field is as deep as it is still. 96 on the MPO side, 19 on the FPO side. I did expect there to be some more drops, but we've still got... We've still got Paul McBeth, Chris Dickerson, Calvin Heinberg, Kevin Jones, like big names. So I think it's going to be fun, and let's make some picks.
Let's do it. All right.
I don't even know whose turn it is.
First, let's see. I will figure it out quickly. It is me.
Sweet. Woo-hoo. Go for it.
Okay. Let's see here. I am... feeling good about, I can't, I feel like I need to go with Paul McBeth.
Yeah.
It's just what my gut's telling me.
Your gut's really, yeah.
Yeah. It's very controversial.
Yeah.
Very controversial.
That's all right. We did the controversial part earlier in the show. It's all good.
I know. All right. And... Kat and Austin stayed with me for the past week. They got lots of practice in. Feeling good about Katrina. Her overall game. I mean, we know that she is just ridiculous off the tee, and her putting was super strong. She was making like all sorts of big circle two putts as she does, but her putting was looking super strong this weekend, and I'm going to go with her for the winner.
Alrighty. Well, Paige Pierce hasn't lost at this tournament before, and she's got a couple wins in the last couple tournaments on the DGPT, so why not go with Paige Pierce? I don't know, so I'm gonna go with Paige Pierce. The MPO side, it gets a little trickier, but I don't know, for some reason, I can't say why, I'm feeling a Calvin Heinberg W. I was actually thinking of a Calvin Heinberg W at USDGC. I'm not sure I'm all the way there yet.
Yeah.
So,
it's been a little iffy for me.
We'll save our USDGC picks for next week. Yeah. So, yeah, Calvin Heinberg for the dub here.
All right. I like it. Let's see. Ooh, there's so many women that could get up into this top five. Who is it going to be? I feel like, all right, Vanessa Van Dyken had an off week. She was actually at MCO caddying for Reed, so she had like a chill week here. Ellen Widboom had a couple good rounds at MCO. Same with Jessica Weiss. Oh my god, I can't make a decision. I feel like I want to close my eyes and just pick. Okay, I did it. And my finger landed on Courtney Cannon.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? I like it.
You got this. You got this, Courtney.
Yeah. All right. I, with the elevation of this course and the somewhat distance involved, I want a bomber. So Haley King, top five, please. On the MPO side.
Oh yeah, I did not choose MPO.
Oh yeah, you gotta do MPO.
I'm gonna go. So just side note, I was gonna bring this up later, but I'm reminded of it now. I was lucky enough to be graced with Chris Dickerson's presence at dinner one night. And I learned some more fun things about him, but he did not know that we have a small Chris Dickerson segment on the show every week. He was very amused by it. Maybe a little embarrassed. Man. Maybe a little embarrassed.
Was he wearing his tablecloth shirt?
No, not at the dinner. Not
it's
at
like
the dinner,
my favorite one.
No, but I did find out that he, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he enjoys like a Starbucks frappuccino, like mocha frappuccino with extra whip kind of thing.
Who doesn't?
Yes, but this man is also the pickiest eater of all time. We are at a very, very quick side note. We are at a Mexican place, like a very like gourmet type Mexican place. And he ordered the chicken fingers with tortillas and then put the chicken fingers in the tortillas and just ate it like that with no sauce. And his wife was saying that he does not like sauce.
The Chris Dickerson segment is officially canceled. that hurt me on a personal level.
My husband, Sean, wasn't able to join us. But whenever someone is a really picky eater, I'm like, no way. My husband's way pickier than you are. And so we kind of did some comparison and I was like, no, you win. You were way pickier than Sean is, so.
I mean, you're going to go to a Mexican food restaurant and get chicken fingers and put them in tortilla. Chris Dickerson. Come on, man.
It made me giggle. Anyway, gosh. But I think he'll be pretty good on the disc golf course. He'll get some power from
So what you're saying is Chris Dickerson top five from his yes. terrible food choices?
Yes.
All right. Well, someone who I do know appreciates Mexican food, because we've talked about the Mexican food place that he likes to go to when he's home in Arkansas, is Kevin Jones, top five.
Uh-huh.
We have listener picks from our homie, Andrew Lockridge.
Yay.
So, Andrew has got my same two on the FPO side, Paige for the win and Haley King for top five. And on the MPO side, he's got Kevin Jones for the win and Chris Dickerson for top five. So, combination of our picks there, he's elevating one of them. I like those picks. And if you want to log your picks for USDGC and Women's Nationals, because those are both coming up next week, send us a note, radio@pdga.com. Cool.
Do it.
And again, Jonesboro Open, Thursday through Saturday. Hope you enjoy that coverage.
As we talked about last week, there is a push on the women's side of the disc golf community where we are really trying to promote that we would like to be respected for our skill on the course and not looks or what we're wearing or our bodies, things of that nature that do not need to be commented on either on the course or on social media. And this has turned into both a social media campaign and a movement that will be happening at the Women's National Championship and USDGC, supported by both FPO and MPO players. More to come on that. But if you would like to participate, the social media campaign is happening on Tuesday, October 6th. I've posted information to my Facebook page as well as my Instagram page, and then on the Disc Golf for Women Facebook group, and then it's been shared all over the interwebs, but it is the hashtag Respect Her Game campaign. And
love it.
What we're doing is having women. So if you're listening to the show and you're a female and you're comfortable doing so, take a video of yourself throwing and then either do an overlay if you're into the, you know, video editing, or just say the hashtag Respect Her Game. And we're going to flood social media with videos of women throwing discs. And then anyone who supports the campaign, just share as many videos as you see. And then there's also going to be Facebook and Instagram profile pictures and frames to make your profile picture for a week, as well as cover photos. So we're just going to flood the social medias with this hashtag. And if you're in support of women's equality in disc golf, then male, female, whatever, please consider supporting and sharing and participating.
I love it. We're definitely going to give people a reminder on this next week and talk about it more. You know, I know you and a couple other players have really been instrumental in driving this, Sarah, and I'm very proud of you and all the women who are pushing this stuff, because it's again, like the issues that we've talked about at the top of the show, it's important. You know, women who go out to play disc golf deserve to be, you know, not harassed, number one, and welcomed yes. and supported. And you know, this is really cool to see that some players with some prominent platforms are stepping up to work together on this. I think that's the thing I really like about this is you can tell, like, it's a lot of people working together.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes to affect change. So
yep.
Props to you and the rest of the crew.
Thanks. Huh? Yeah. And then also, so kind of in the same realm, so I mentioned Katrina and Austin were staying with us for the week, and she, a few weeks ago, we announced that she started a private Instagram account for women disc golfers, female disc golfers, so that she can share kind of tips and tricks and instructional videos and workouts and all sorts of stuff in a private, safe place just for females. And in that same light, she also started an initiative where she wants to promote more camaraderie among the FPO field. So she started this week at Music City Open and invited every person that was playing in the FPO field at Music City Open to lunch. And about, I think, 10 or 11 showed up. And I came because I was supposed to play, and also she's staying with me and I really like pizza. And so we all went to this place and enjoyed pizza and hung out. And it was just a group of women that probably wouldn't have hung out all together otherwise, but I know she's going to continue doing that. It may be like a lunch, or like if it's a smaller group, like going to get manicures or, I don't know, like Topgolf, like things like that. In these different towns where normally maybe you just like go back to your hotel room and hang out. And I think it's really cool to kind of get together and socialize off of the course. Maybe you find common ground with somebody that maybe frustrates you on the course, but maybe you find some things that you have in common off the course, and you can kind of, I don't know, just start new friendships that way. So I think It's a really cool initiative that she's started. And then just kind of, I guess this could be my shout out for the week. Ace Rum Productions was out at Music City Open. They introduced themselves to me because they're big fans of the show. And I just wanted to give a shout out to them. They're super cool guys out of Atlanta.
Yo, yeah. Had a great time working with them at Hall of Fame last year.
Yeah, it was really neat. It's always cool when people reference that they listen to the show, and just wanted to give them a shout out. So
it's still frightening.
Oh, yeah, it's super weird. It's super weird. It's getting more, it's more normal to me than it was before, but
well, you're a lot more out there on social and stuff than I am.
Yeah,
too, so
yeah, for sure.
That. Okay. We've got runner layup, and let's go, Sarah. Do we have, is it disc golf related, or is it food related, or is it neither?
The two that I was able to lock down today are actually disc golf related. So
I feel like we need a food-related one just to keep with our trend.
I know. Oh, I've got one, and all right. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Perfect.
Okay.
Let's just do one disc golf, one food then.
Okay. Let's do this one. Not every course that is being built has to be an advanced level course. Run it or layup.
Not every course put in has to be an advanced
level course.
I know
that's worded. I worded that in a very awkward way.
Yeah.
But basically the idea is like, it's okay to put in beginner level.
Yeah, 100%. So okay. I'm going to run that all day. Like,
I run that
like,
all day too.
We need more course. I just talked to a guy up in Canada who's putting in a bunch of good courses like this. And it's like, you need these intro level courses. You need courses that, especially now with so many people coming into the sport since the pandemic, like, we need those courses. And I think, to some degree, you know, it's people listening to this show are probably more hardcore into disc golf. They want the advanced level courses. But I think it's also important to kind of look outside yourself and think back to where you first started. I started playing on a little 9-hole course. Nice. You know, a lot of people start out on short 9-hole courses. Here in the town I live in, we have a 6-hole course that's meant specifically for kids.
And, oh, that's cool.
But sometimes people don't get that, and like you go look at the reviews for it, and they're like, this is a terrible course, because it's short and there's only 6 holes. But like, it's in a very high traffic, high visibility park, and it's made for young people. Like it's genius. So absolutely, we need more courses that are entry level.
I agree. Yeah, and I feel like I've kind of witnessed this in the different clubs that I'm a part of, that you get that okay from the Parks and Rec department, and you've got all this acreage, and you're like, oh man, and you kind of, like you said, you kind of design it for those more advanced disc golfers, or you design it for yourself. I mean, it's one of those things that a course designer is, it's a very personal thing, and you may or may not design it with your own game in mind, or at least your skill level in mind. But like you said, I think it is really important to create those beginner-friendly courses to get people introduced to the sport and not extremely frustrated. I began on a course that was advanced and thought that I was like the worst disc golfer to ever play the game.
Stuck with it, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm glad I did. But it was very... I shot like maybe 40 over par the first time I played, because it was...
Oh, I mean, I probably did too on my little 9-hole course. I remember back when I was first starting, like the first time I think I shot like under par was like the most exciting day ever
of your life.
Yeah, ever. That's cool. Like super exciting.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's our food one? Food.
All right. You kind of referenced this earlier. Flavored coffee has its place.
It's, you know where that place is? The trash can.
I already knew this.
So I will lay that one up. All right, I drink coffee for the flavor of coffee, not the flavor of cinnamon or the flavor
coffee
of
snob.
Pumpkin or the... 100% proudly coffee snob.
I'm not a coffee snob.
This is the same way I feel about beer. You know, no thank you to, like, you know, Bud Light and stuff. Like, I want... If I'm drinking this stuff, I want the flavor that is supposed to come out of it. So
I'm like that with beer too. I mean, now in my old age, when I was 21, I was like, whatever. Like,
oh man, see, I was even like that. I was like the outlier in my friends when I was that age. Like, I wasn't drinking, you know, IPAs and things like that, but I was.
I couldn't afford IPAs.
Yeah, right. That's half the issue. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, but I'm not a fan of the flavored coffees. I'll get back to you on flavored creamers.
Yeah, well, the creamer I use isn't sweet. It's kind of different. It's flavor. So I've got like a marshmallow one, and I've got this pumpkin one, and I've got caramel and vanilla, and they're flavored, but they don't have any sweetener in them. And then where I get
but
the sweetener...
But don't they taste sweet?
No, they're not sweet.
But you just mentioned three flavors that are sweet flavors, like caramel, vanilla.
I know it's really hard to describe, but there's no sweetener in it at all. Like no sugar or fake sugar. I don't know how to describe it. It takes on the flavor of pumpkin or marshmallow, but without the sweetness. But I do add like stevia, like liquid stevia, or now that it's fall and I ordered a big thing of these like sugar-free skinny mix syrups, like all the different flavors of those.
There we go.
I don't know. Yeah. To each her / his / their own.
There you go. Yep.
Hey, I do have a shout out.
Yep. What do you got?
It's another shout out about our YouTube channel, but this is valuable for the listeners to know. We did some giveaways and we are currently doing some giveaways for our YouTube channel for subscribers. Because we had so many pros at the Music City Open, we capitalized on that. And we got Holly Finley and Ellen Woodboom to each send a disc. And once we hit 250 subscribers on our YouTube channel, we drew a winner from my Instagram post. So we got that. But currently we're doing a 500 subscriber giveaway, and it is a Halo Destroyer that's super pretty. You can see it over on my Instagram, and it's signed by Jessica Weiss and Garrett Gerthy.
I was going to say, Garrett Gerthy and Halo Destroyers.
Yeah. It's beautiful. So go check out that post on my Instagram. And then once we hit 1,000, we are giving away an Austin Hanum and Katrina Allen signed signature discs. So hopefully we get to 1,000 pretty quickly so that we can get those discs to people.
Very cool. Hey, one more friendly reminder. It is membership season. You can go and get your PDGA membership now, and you get a couple months like free. So, you know, go to pdga.com/join. Sign up for your membership for this year. That's my shout out.
Oh,
so,
I have one more. I have one more.
Sarah's got one more.
Self-promoting. Disc Golf Strong. If you do not follow Seth over Disc Golf Strong on Instagram, he's doing a mega giveaway. So you should go check that out as well.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hey, Sarah, thanks for the chat this week. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And give us your feedback. Like, we want to hear it. radio@pdga.com. Next week, we're going to be talking Women's Nationals and USDGC. It's the major, Sarah. We've got the major finally. So it's going to be fun. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you next week.